the living geek.
Last time you were like, let's get a few months of science, and then you were banging shit around. But anyway.
I have a bad, I have a bad habit of doing that. The other thing I have a bad habit of doing is just like, hey, let's get some seconds of silence, and then I just start laughing. That's my bad. All right. Well, anyway, that's how we start an episode of Outwit Outplay Outcast on the Night of the Living Geeks Network and outwitoutplay.cast.com. So there you go. That's our intro for the day. We have had so many... No, I was saying, we have had so many technical difficulties in the last half hour that the fact that we're recording is frankly
a miracle. We're starting 45 minutes late.
Oof. Which is funny because we were actually going to start a half hour early. So technically speaking, we're only starting 15 minutes late.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't really matter because I don't edit this until I get home from work tomorrow anyway. And this time I will, I swear to God, I swear to you guys, I will not start playing video games the minute I get home and then upload episode at like, oh, you can, that's fine. Like my ritual has been like, I've gotten home and I'll be like, oh, I'll just play Dominations for like 10 minutes. And I look up and like 3 hours have passed. And it's like, oh shit. And then I start editing the episode and then I get it uploaded at like 9 o'clock at night, which is way beyond the time that I should be doing it.
A little bit.
I actually don't mind the day. Yeah, exactly. It's the right day. It's still Friday, whatever. A lot of people have cut the cord and they have to watch online too, so it's fine. Speaking of which, this is a tangent, but I'll keep most of it in, I'm sure. Have you tried, like, you haven't had any problems with CBS's app? Not app, I'm sorry, their web stream, right?
More or less. I use an ad blocker and Ghostery to, like, prevent extra cookies and crap, but generally it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, because I've been using it, no problems whatsoever. Last night, I wanted to watch Gotham, so I downloaded the Fox app because Hulu only has one episode.
That's too bad.
Yeah, oh, it is too bad. No, that app is stupid. It's hell, like, it would play it at like 640 resolution. It was terrible resolution, and it would stop every 5 seconds, and like the audio would keep going, but the image would cut out. But apparently it was a terrible episode, so I'm not missing anything. So I don't know. Anyway, so that's your Gotham update. Let's move on to Survivor, shall we? This was a good episode, right?
Yeah. This was a relatively boring episode.
I guess you're right.
I thought it was.
No crazy shit happened.
I mean, the tribal shakeup was a great idea, but it didn't really do anything unexpected. It would have been much, much better if Abby and PG ended up on separate tribes.
Right?
Well, no, because that was like the one conflict of the episode.
It's an old conflict. It was something that's been going on since fucking the second they landed on the beach was Abby just getting out of whatever up on PG because it happened to fall into PG's bag or however it got there. It doesn't even matter at this point. But it's the same thing we've been watching for three episodes. And the best I can say is thank God it's finally over. But it would have been over if they were on different teams, too.
No, no. She would have just found someone else to complain at.
But then that would have been something new.
But at any rate, this episode started with them getting back from camp after voting out Shireen, and really the only thing that happened was they finally said, hey, we voted out Shireen, and she was a good player, and that was it. I was a little disappointed.
And I don't even know if she's a good player. She was smart, she clearly knows the game, but in last season, I can't say that she was necessarily a good player. And in this one, she was obviously smart and knows the game, but wasn't a good player. I don't know what's wrong with her game and why it doesn't translate, because she always has the right answers. She always knows what to do, but just can't execute it somehow.
In this one, Terry called her the most strategic player he ever met. But to be fair, he lost to Aris. So there you go. I mean, that's a pretty low hurdle to leap over. So Spencer actually seems to be making his reform that he wanted to. So when he was sucking up to the tribe and saying, I will change, just let me live, don't throw me to the wolves. He seems to have been honest about that. Let me get closer to the mic. Somehow I'm like, there we go, that's better. I'm in a chair, I managed to get like 5 feet away from the microphone.
But is it real honest change though? Because he's doing it so he doesn't get voted out. So he's still just doing it to play the game.
Hey, that's fine. That's what he needs to do.
It's very chicken and the egg.
It could.
He went up and he was like, "Hey, Jeremy, you want to be my friend, Jeremy? I want to be your friend, Jeremy." Yeah.
And then Jeremy gave him the greatest advice ever, which he said, "I haven't told my girlfriend I love her yet." And he's like, "Good. You shouldn't. Don't do that." It's like, what are you doing? fucking Jeremy. he's like, that way when you say it, it's going to mean so much more. It's like, are you joking? How did you get a wife? Don't get me wrong. Actually, Jeremy seems like a real good guy. Don't get me wrong. I'm giving him some shit for that. But still, it's like, that is terrible advice, Spencer. If you're listening to this, and I know you're not, just don't listen to him. Tell her you love her.
Yeah, ignore ladies. Fuck bitches.
Yeah. She oh wow.
That's good advice for Spencer.
So, on that note, hey look, there was a tribal shakeup.
I want to point out Spencer basically explained that he's a Vulcan.
Yeah, that's
I don't have any emotions. I'm just logical.
And every 7 years he has to go into Ponfar.
Which isn't time yet, which is why he didn't say I love you. He's not in Ponfar.
Oh, all right, you're right. Yeah. Okay. He's our Vulcan companion.
Give it 6 more years.
You know what? Does anyone own Spencer? Let me check real fast. Oh, all right. So Spencer's still on the waiver wire. All right. Maybe I'll pick him up. We'll see when we get to that. That's what we call a teaser. All right. Well, anyway, so with this shakeup, did anybody actually... So who did the shakeup help and who did it hurt? Obviously, it helped Spencer because he was completely down and out in his tribe. I think it may have helped Steven just because it gave him a little bit of cover. So he's going to be in it for at least another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Did it help anyone else out?
I feel like it helped out Savage. His previous team, they all liked him because of his heartwarming story of, I saw a woman and she was hot, so I asked her to marry me. It enamored his whole tribe. Which,
he will never live that down.
But when you're also likable, that still makes you a threat. Like they were, like the other tribe was also saying about Joe. Like, Joe's really good at island life. We're going to have him build our beach and then kick him the fuck out. Like, Savage, you're really likable because you married a hot girl, so we're going to kick you out now. But now, Savage's team is just stupid, and he's a lawyer. Yeah,
well, that's true.
You know who it definitely didn't help out? Is PG, Abby, Wu, and Varner. Well, they're all on the same team still.
It could have helped out Jeff, but I feel like he shot himself in the foot at the immunity challenge by signaling over to Kelly Wigglesworth. That was the only mistake he made, but the shakeup gimmick itself didn't necessarily hurt him. It's what he did about it that hurt him.
That wasn't a mistake. So Tasha goes, hey, we got a rat over here, rat in the house. And the rest of his tribe is like, "What? Yeah, so yeah, we're going to work with them when we get back together. Screw you, Tasha."
In Tasha's defense, the thing I liked was she then basically when they got back to camp was saying the same thing was, hey, look, when we remerge, we're going to have a lot more members than you and we're going to vote you out, but I can put in a good word for you. So Tasha's been playing a pretty good game.
That was so stupid. Yeah, but that was a really stupid argument. If you keep me now and like let me get the numbers on you, then I won't screw you over.
That's the thing. If it's the only card that you can play, you may as well play it. Because the other end of the spectrum was on, are they on Bayonne now? I think it's Bayonne with Kelly and Terry, where Kelly's just like, oh yeah, Terry's a horrible human being. Terry, we never really worked together. And he kept looking for the idol, and I think he might secretly hate Jews, and he like, I love the fact that she was just making things up and just like, oh, what a terrible person. He stole a book from the library. He still thinks Blue by Abadi Abadou is a good song. He doesn't realize Crystal Pepsi isn't around anymore. Yeah, I really loved Kelly throwing him under the bus, and her little pantomime of throwing him under the bus was even better.
Yes,
that's my girl
under there. Yeah.
That's my girl on my team. That one's mine. Yeah.
While we're on the subject, I'll just say that Angkor is like the laziest name that they've ever had to come up with for a tribe name, because like that's the only thing in Cambodia. Like it'd be like if there was a survivor of South Dakota, like one of the tribes is called Mount Rushmore.
Or you could call your tribe Murica.
Murica.
Murica. No matter what country you're actually in, this beach is America.
I gotta tell you guys, I'm really feeling Murica right now. What, you mean like for a name or the country? I mean Murica. Hey,
whatever happened to Haley's song? I gotta look that up. The song that she wrote about how awesome America
yeah.
is.
Oh, I forgot. As you can tell, this episode was a little bit dull because we keep trying to find other things to talk about, such as last season.
Well, okay, here. I got a topic we can discuss. It always kind of upsets me when they do the shakeup and people stick with the old tribal stuff, especially, I mean, I kind of get it, when you have one tribe that was dominant and then they try to shake it up to get different results and just readjust it into two tribes. But in this one, you're going into three. You're all small tribes. It's the perfect opportunity to completely ignore where you came from and build something new. But instead, in all three instances, the immediate assumption was from old tribe will be still be voting as old tribe in current tribe just to cause numbers. If you're unsatisfied in it, and not even unsatisfied, like now is the time to forge an alliance that crosses tribes so that when the merge happens, you can pull people in. It just seems like it's a missed opportunity. And all these people, all they talk about is numbers, numbers. I'll go where the numbers are. Well, there's no numbers in that. Like, of course, because nobody's fucking doing anything. Like, it really frustrates the shit out of me.
Well, you know, and in fairness, that's what Cochran did in Survivor One World. Like, as soon as the tribes were shaken up, everyone was like, all right, Cochran, you're with us, right? He's like, yeah, you guys are bullies to me. Why would I be with you? And he stabbed him.
Yeah, right. You guys are assholes.
Yeah, he stabbed him right in, not even in the back. He told them up front, it's like, I'm not going to go with you guys. Bye! And it worked for him for a little while, at least. In this case, though, I mean, yeah, even though everyone, as soon as the tribes were switched up, they said, we're going to stick with the original numbers. It didn't finish that way, though. Like, Jeremy and Spencer are together now. Jeremy and Steven, who weren't allies before this, now they seem to be on good terms. Abby Maria completely flipped and did all kinds of crazy backflips. And Jeff is really just kind of out for himself, which I appreciate. So,
but I don't feel like this... that tribe's a special case because of Abby Maria, because all logic and game playing gets thrown out the window when she's involved.
She's the wild card.
Mm-hmm. But it completely depends on your position. Like if you're like four people, because they all got separated into four or two from their old tribe. If you're in the four people that were on the top, why the fuck would you shake things up and start screwing over the people who are on your side?
Well, because you're the crazy Brazilian dragon. Why wouldn't you? That's how we do things in the Southern Hemisphere.
Like, okay, if you're Varner and you're out for yourself more or less, you just grab Abby Maria because she's a good human shield for this game and say, Abby, let's do something dumb. And Abby, if the vote is to stab somebody in the back, fuck it, she'll do it. You can come up with whatever reason that she'll agree. It might be because somebody voted for her 2 weeks ago, or even the season she was on. It would be enough of a reason. Like, oh, you ever wrote my name down on a piece of paper. You fuck with me, you're dead.
I will
like
end whatever you. Reason. Just
pull, pull something out of your ass and she will be on your side.
Yeah. She's very... I feel like she would be very easy to manipulate if you gave it a try. Like, I think that's what Jeff is doing, and I really like that. PG, I think, is just trying to stay alive. Spoiler alert, it didn't work. But oh my god, how uncomfortable was that scene when they were all huddled under that that rainy shelter, and you have PG and Abby Maria passive-aggressively sniping at each other under there?
Yeah.
Like, why are you dry? I'm not dry. What are you talking about?
Do you want to switch places? I'll switch places with you. It's like, oh my god. Now we understand why Jeff was like, I'm just going to go stand out there, flip off the sky, and shout, fuck you, to the storm. Like, you thought he was
probably
cursing
fuck
God.
You for this life getting stuck with Abby.
Exactly. But you know what? If he ends up with $1 million, good for him. I'm liking him. I'm glad.
He won't mind at all, then.
Speaking of that tribe, you know what really grinds my gears? Every single time there's a big dude... who's on the bottom and knows he's like on the bottom of the numbers. Well, you can't get rid of me because I'm strong and you need strong people and challenges. And it was Savage this time. What pisses me off is that it always works and it's always fucking wrong. Every like 99% of all the challenges are won by the puzzle after all of the physical shit. They always do some big physical thing and the one team is way the hell ahead and then they lose because they suck at the puzzle.
Well, yeah, it's like it was like Rodney last season. That's how he lasted so long. There was a couple weeks he should have gotten kicked out, but they're like, no, we need to keep him around because he's strong. And we all saw down the stretch how good he was at challenges, him and his worst birthday ever.
Bro, it's like, my birthday. You're right. You're not going to take me on the trip? Come on, man.
The brute strength doesn't matter. What matters is the guy who has the willpower past the muscle and the guys who are lanky and built for more endurance and that are leaner, guys like Joe.
Well, and then we saw what happens when you stick a meathead in a puzzle. Like, I have no idea why Angkor decided that they were going to put Wu as their puzzle builder. That made zero sense to me. It's like, do they not realize that he is not a smart guy? Like, PG was doing okay. Don't get me wrong. She wasn't, like, great or anything, but she was holding her own. She was doing okay. And then they're like, woo, tag in there. Okay. Oh, man, we lost. What happened there? That guy makes he makes the greatest what faces that you will ever see.
He's not the sharpest tool in the shed, that's for sure.
I really don't see what he adds to this game. I take that back. He's eye candy. That's what he adds. He's a handsome man. He's dumb as a box of rocks.
And he is legitimately pretty good at the physical part of the challenges.
Mm, yeah.
Pretty good. Better than the average bear.
You can tell. It's all, like, all of it so far has been dragging, like, everybody has to drag a heavy thing together.
Yeah, there hasn't been any brute force. And in the upcoming one, it looks like it's going to be one of my favorite challenges ever, where people get to walk around blindfolded and walk into things. So that's going to be fantastic.
Those are the best.
That's the greatest.
Yeah.
But you're right. There has been no real physical challenge, brute force challenge, where you would need somebody who's super strong. But you're right. There isn't a whole lot of drama this week. Just a bunch of stupid people doing stupid things.
It's really sweet, though, that he has such a hot wife. Isn't that the sweetest thing? His wife is so hot.
It takes so much character for him to condescend to marry a beautiful woman that he's known for 3 weeks as a powerful San Jose lawyer. I'm going to go with a tech lawyer. That asshole probably works for
probably. No, he's a patent troll lawyer. You know he is.
You know what? I love us because everybody else watching this show probably thinks he's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, you're right.
We have met real people like him and he's a dick and we know it.
No.
Andrew Savage, but he's just
it sounds like a radio DJ. He sounds like he should be hosting a morning zoo somewhere. talking about his hot wife to his morning zoo crew. Oh, and then they could do some prank phone calls. All right, well, anyway. Good.
We have a career for you, Andrew Savage, after this.
Is it just me, or is Jeremy hiding an accent?
Kind of. Well, he's...
Because he said at one point, he sounds like normal. And at one point, he said, what word did he say? He said, my bond.
Yeah.
He's forming a bond with Spencer.
Well, you know what it is? Bostonians have realized that nobody likes that really thick Boston? Wow. Nobody really likes that.
Boston?
Yeah. Boston? Nobody really likes that Boston.
People do kind of like the Mighty Mighty Boston.
I do like... And I do love the Mighty Mighty Bostones. All right. Someday, I suppose. Anyway. What the hell was I saying? Oh, yeah, no. Bostonians have realized that nobody really likes that Boston accent, so they kind of learn how to hide it. It'll slip out when they're speaking amongst themselves or if they're not conscious like Rodney was. Rodney just did not give a fuck, so he would do it all the time. But everyone else is kind of like, I'm going to hide this just a little bit. But no, you're right. Yeah. And we should mention, he found a clue to the hidden immunity idol. And sure enough, well, now that we're into the immunity reward challenge, he found it. And it was not at all hidden. It was basically just kind of super glued to the side. And they're like, here's the thing.
He wasn't half as slick about it either as Kelly.
Yeah, hey, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Well, with Kelly, they glued it underneath. You know what I mean? It was invisible if you weren't looking for it. Everyone else, this one was just kind of right out there. If somebody had been just looking at it from a weird angle, they would have known.
But still, he didn't have to get down and teabag the dirt to shove it down by his willy. And then oh, yeah, hey, a key. Yeah, hand it to me.
Why are you kneeling? I agree with you because
what were you doing down there?
He's wearing cargo shorts. They have 700 pockets. I mean, he could have just stuck it in one of those and he would have been fine. Nobody would have noticed anything. But instead he's like, nope, gotta hide this in my underwear.
You know what though? The other upside of doing this and hiding them during the immunity challenges is that we as the viewers have the viewpoint to know what's going on with this. And so we can kind of criticize it from this side. There's only two people now that know that this is how immunity aisles are hidden. None of them would even think to question him being down on his knees. They might think, oh, you were settling something over there or doing something. Or
he tripped.
Or tripped. No, nobody would even question it. Nobody would even think about it. Or just
saying a little prayer.
Yeah. But at the same time, anytime anybody walks off to take a shit, I think they're going and looking for the idol. That's what I think they're doing. They're so clued into how this game has been for 30 seasons, which obviously you kind of should have done your homework. But it works. That works to the negative of some people, but it works to the benefit of the people who actually did get these idols because nobody even thought about it. What I really want to happen is for somebody to find the clue and have it be stuck on there and have it get knocked off somehow and just see the giant dog pile to grab at it in the middle of the challenge. Because... That'd be the trick, though. Would you stop and pick it up if you saw it and recognized that it was something like that? You know, because it's that little wrapped up in leather packages is really identifiable as being the immunity idol in this game. Would you go and grab at it? because you know the second you do, you're getting voted out. Well,
that's
I don't
right.
know.
You got to be the second person to go for it. And then you just have to be the one who happens to get it. Yeah.
Speaking of reactions, Brian, I'm pretty sure Cass is your favorite player.
Oh God.
Every single immunity.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Wow. They voted her out. Wow. First Vetus and now Shireen. Wow.
Why would they get Come rid on. Of that person?
There's only so many people on the tribe. Who would you have not been surprised at? Tell me that, Cass.
Maybe Abby Marie. She's the one when she eventually does get voted out, because I don't think she's going to make it to the jury, but when she does eventually get voted out, Cass will be like, yeah, I saw that one. Called it. Had a feeling. All right.
It'd be great if her reaction, they cut to her for the reaction. She's just like nodding her head. Yep.
There was a good challenge. Actually, the thing I liked about this puzzle was that you could actually watch the players as they were doing it. You know what I mean? Like from the front. Because usually they have the camera over the shoulder or off to the side and you just see them in profile. This was kind of neat watching them panic and try and shove stuff up in there. And especially when they got to the top, like hold everything up so they could put a piece underneath. Which does not really translate to an audio format like a podcast.
Survivor porn.
Yeah, exactly. Hashtag survivor porn. Man, I really want to.
They don't put that up on the screen?
We might be getting cable again. And if we do, I will be able to like watch these episodes as a broadcast and find the survivor porn as it happens.
You can just like buy an antenna and hook it up to your TV and get CBS.
Oh, I could buy something? Yeah no, I'm not going to do that.
No, it's like it's $20 on Amazon, and you put it up on the wall, and you get all of the free over-the-air channels, all of the networks.
I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to get real cable eventually. Huh? Go figure. The tribe has literally nothing, and everyone hates each other. They're the ones that lose, and lose by a fairly wide margin. So Angkor has to go to tribal council.
That was bad television, right?
What?
What specifically?
Hey, we're gonna throw you together, even though half of you haven't talked to the other half, and we're gonna stick you on a beach with no shelter, no nothing, no food, not even a pot to fucking boil your water, and then we're gonna have you go to a challenge. Okay, they had a pot, not even fire. We're gonna then take you to a challenge. Like, of course they're going to lose.
That's the luck like of the draw. Saying,
no, it's bullshit.
Well, no, if you think way back to Survivor Fiji, the tribe that had nothing still managed to win a couple of challenges.
Yeah, right? But they had nothing because they sucked.
No, they had nothing
because... They sucked because they're too stupid to get rid of the person that's fucking pissing everyone off, so they all hate each other.
Yeah.
That's why they lost.
Well, okay, so that is the real deal right there, is they had a chance, like, okay, there's six of you, and it should be a simple four people vote for one of the other two people. That's all that you really need to do. Or it's like, hey, look, if this one person who's being terrible and none of us like, we vote for her. Instead, they did the opposite, and they managed to vote off the one person who was any good at the game. Although, now that I think about it, was she too good? Because we've seen that Jeff Varner is a bit of a strategic mastermind here. And so he probably realized she's better than Abby Marie. I want to get rid of a good player, not a piece of shit player that can act as a shield.
Why do you think she's good? She hasn't really done anything.
She's better than Abby. That's... No, I mean...
She's a better person than Abby.
That's true. She's a better player, too, though. I mean, she was out there trying to make friends and alliances. Abby Marie's been out there just trying to watch the world burn. Yeah. All right, well, yeah, we'll just go up to Tribal Council then, because there wasn't a whole lot of Actually, no, there was some politicking. Yeah, you have to admire Tasha and give credit to Tasha and Adam, or Andrew. God damn it, why am I saying Adam Savage? I'm going to have to look up and see who that is. Oh, Adam Savage is the dude from Mythbusters, isn't it?
Believe me. Yes.
Okay, yeah. That's why I keep saying Adam Savage. So Adam Savage from Mythbusters and Tasha have been doing a fantastic job of breaking up that four block. So they really created an opportunity. That's not easy to do. So we shouldn't completely...
They didn't do anything. That was all Abby.
Well, no, but that was the thing.
Abby's like, well, I decided I like them better than you guys, so I'm going to vote with them.
She did that because they were all, hey, Abby, we sense some tenseness between you two. Why don't you let us know what's going on? So, yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah, see, I all that yeah. Well, she's definitely one of the villains of this episode. You're right. We pretty much have all agreed she takes this game way too personally, and she's a little bit crazy.
She's the definition of personal, because when Wu votes for her, it's the first thing she goes. She looks at him, and she's like has like the evil chuckle. That's twice you voted for me. That's the like, I'm going to slit your throat in your sleep, motherfucker. Are you fucking shitting me? Of course he voted for you. It was you or PG. And it seems like him and PG had like a little bit of a thing, because when PG leaves, she says good luck to Wu. She's generally really fucking crazy, though, Abby Maria.
Yeah.
What, there was other stuff she said earlier this episode that I forgot. What was it? Like she called PG shady?
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah, she said, I don't like PG. She's shady and sneaky, or something along those lines. And it's like, well, you kind of haven't trusted her from the beginning. It's like you decided on day one, I don't want to like this person. And then everything that they did, you interpreted it to be like, I really don't want to like this person. So that was what was really behind this.
It was because it's stupid Bangle. Yeah. Ended up in PG's bag. Nobody ever explained how or why it was there, but that didn't matter.
I don't think she's even wearing that bangle.
No, she's not. And it really, like, okay, Abby Maria, let's sit down and think about this. If PG wants to steal your bangle, okay, it's a cheap fucking stupid thing anyway. Think about this. She has one bag. She obviously can't wear it. So what? She's just going to hide it in her bag the entire month she plans on being out there, because everybody's out there planning to win it.
If she votes me off, then she can wear it all she wants. So that's why she was going for me first. She really wanted my bangle. That's my Abby Marie.
That probably would be the rationalization.
I must murder her first.
Fucking insane. Fucking insane.
I will light her corpse on fire.
Okay.
With my Brazilian dragon breath.
I mean, she's good. Abby Maria is good television, but oh my god, I would go insane.
I feel a little bit bad for Shireen on account of she's got to be sitting at home thinking, if I had survived just 3 more days, I would have been home free. The Brazilian dragon would not have bitten me. God damn it.
Pretty much.
So yeah, Abby, how much longer do you think she's going to last?
A week. No! It depends. It all depends on Varner, because Varner's using her as a top-notch human shield.
Yeah,
but are we betting? I bet she makes it to the merge.
You're saying merge? I'm not going to take it because I legitimately don't know, and I have a couple bets already.
I think she does make it. I also think she makes it to the merge.
Well, damn it, that doesn't work.
how far after the merge do you think she's going to make it?
Oh, I think she's getting voted out, like, the first merge after the, you know what I mean.
So okay. the week, so well, they're going to merge, and then that week she gets voted off.
Yeah, well, because the other people who aren't, you know, like aligned with her are not going to put up with her shit.
So I'll give you the week of the merge and the week after, and then anytime after that or before that, I'll win.
Well, let me give you a bet. Oh, you're going to take that? I was going to give you better odds. I was going to say
four
jury.
4 points.
Okay.
All right. 4 points. You get 4 if Abby Maria is out week of the merge or the week following, and I get 4 points from you if it's any week other than those two.
Okay.
All right. Put it in the books.
No, you put it in.
Okay. That's kind of a terrible deal for me, but all right.
I don't know why you
whatever,
feel
I talked you into it. That's what matters.
Yeah. What are you, Patrick Kane?
Ugh.
All right. Well, PG's gone. Congratulations. Who cares? I really, okay, maybe.
Yeah,
it's
a long farewell.
Yeah, no, we're not singing again. but
Wait a minute. Before we move on, we forgot about something very important. That baby leopard was fucking adorable.
Oh, it was so cute. Like there's another baby that they keep showing, and it's God, I wish I remember what it was, but it's like a baby lemur or whatever, I don't even know. And they just keep showing it, and it's like trying to climb the tree. Oh yeah, it's the baby monkey. Thank you. I could not think of what it was. Thank you, Brian. There's this little baby monkey like hugging a tree, and they show that all the time, and they show the baby tiger or whatever all the time, and they're so cute. And then they're gonna claw your eyes out. For real. But they'll be cute as they do it. Look at their little tufted ears.
Hold on a second.
Sure. That little jerk. makes us wait for him at his beck and call. Who does he think he is?
Motherfucker.
I can still hear you, asshole.
Oh, damn.
You know what we should do? We should murder him.
Oh, I can hear my sister yelling at the dog. He doesn't listen.
Is he deaf? There's a deaf cat living here now. And the thing doesn't listen either, but I always feel compelled.
Well, he's not deaf.
He's
just a pain in the ass. He definitely hears us.
Oh, okay. Because yeah, there's a
pain
in the
ass like me.
A deaf cat that lives here now, and I always feel the compulsion to say, "Hello, cat," when I see it, even though I know he can't understand what I'm saying, couldn't hear it, and definitely couldn't speak back, even if he could. All right, well, we will get back on track. So I guess all we really have to look forward to now is next week's Pain Train Challenge. That's about it, where we're going to see people fall down, have things drop on them, and then get angry. Anything else we want to say about this episode before we move on to fantasy and everything?
Nope.
Overall, good season. Don't get me wrong. Well, no, the season's good. Don't get me wrong. But it's like every now and again, you are kind of like, yeah, all right. They're just kind of playing out the string, at least on this episode. Like the whole PG Abby Marie conflict has been kind of interesting, and I'm glad it's over because I don't know if I could do one more episode of it. But the other hand of that is that now we know Abby Marie's just going to move on to her next victim, which, as long as it's not Steven, Andrew, or Jeff, I'm happy because that's my team, and I got points this week. All right. Well, anyway, yeah, we'll do our side bets first. So first bet was who would be the first one out, and we are all batting zero for that one. Tasha is not out.
Fine.
Cass is not out. Keith is not out. It's very
bad. Keith wasn't even in this episode.
No. Keith did one good thing, and I can't remember what it was.
He climbed into a hammock?
He said, oh, hell, I know Kelly. And then he climbed into a hammock, and that was about it. I do need more Keith in these episodes. I will say that. I like him a lot. I could listen to him
every
say
time
anything.
I see Keith, I think of the guy from Futurama. Fuck, what was his name?
The janitor? Scruffy.
Scruffy. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Second bet was full on genitalia, and there is none. I've decided so as well.
No, yeah.
There was a little bit of censorship. Yeah, yeah. Well, it wasn't even crack. It was like the part of your thigh where your butt meets your thigh. It was, if anything, a waxing crescent moon. So, yeah, that does not count.
There's a reason the bet is called full-on genitals.
Yes. We wrote a note saying we need an impartial judge, but that's no, we don't. There was nothing. So I'm just going to write nope in all caps.
I will concede.
A couple more episodes and I'm going to get the answer for that. Nope. I can't see my keyboard when I'm typing. So the fact that I got most of those letters correct.
All two listeners, we were making fun of his typing.
So fantasy this week, Nick had Fishbot get some 1 point. Savage gets some two for what? What did Savage get you two? Was he on? No, he's not on the team that went to tribal.
Yes, he is.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah. It was him, Tasha.
Savage gets you 2 points because he went to tribal and survived. Jeff gets you 2 points because Jeff went to tribal and survived. So you get 5 at under 12. So you're sitting at 17 in the lead. I'm coming up next. I had Joe give me 1, Kelly Wentworth get me 1, and Monica get me 1, holding it strong 3 points a week. So I'm sitting there at 15. And Brian had Abby, Kelly Wigglesworth, and Keith. Abby got you 2, Kelly got you 1, Keith got you 1. So add 4 gives you 14. So we're at 17, 15, and 14. And I'm going to get 4 from you, Brian, when Abby gets voted off in like a week or two.
You laugh, but I think she might make it. And that's going to be hysterical if she does.
I honestly do think she'll make it to the merge. I couldn't avoid the odds on that bet.
Yeah, that was I was going to suggest that you guys go for jury or not, but if Brian wants to take those terrible odds, he can. If he has 4 points to just throw away, he can do
it. I'm going
to
win.
I'm the only winner so
far. He's playing like I did last season.
Hurry up and do 2 freaking challenges already so we can get more points.
Yeah, something
yeah,
more interesting.
That was a little
well, the last 2 weeks we've gotten 2 points per challenge because they were reward / immunity. They were both.
That's fine. That's just building up our bank accounts so we can make stupid side bets later. All right, well, we'll do ads drops. So, Brian, you're in last place. Do you want to add or drop anyone? You could have yourself a nice, fresh Jeremy.
No.
He does have a hidden immunity idol.
The new and improved Spencer Bot?
No, I don't like him.
the new and improved Spencer Bot.
I don't like him because he's a fucking idiot and he left his fucking pregnant wife at home.
All right, so you're not adding or dropping.
But could you imagine, Andy, if like right now you were like, by the way, Vitaly, I'm going to go on Survivor. You have a baby. I'll be back.
Yeah, I could do that. It's because my mother-in-law's coming to stay, so it's not like she'll be all by herself. Get the fuck out of here. Oh, yeah, I never said I was a good husband. I just, I'm a husband.
All right, Andy, you going to add drop?
No, I love my team still.
Really?
You got two hot ladies and a hot dude.
I would drop Monica in a heartbeat to pick up Jeremy.
No, Monica's attractive.
Jeremy's an attractive dude.
Sure.
So I will be keeping my team of Steven, Andrew, and Jeff. I will be keeping them. I'm feeling good about them. And especially now that my portfolio is still diversified, if they were all three on the same tribe, I would feel bad. But I'm not. So I think that about does it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, in that case, I can't use this as my sign off, but I found another really good sign off while listening to something else. Paul F. Tompkins signs off every episode of Spontanea Nation with goodbye forever until next week. No, you guys don't like that either. Fuck you.
No.
That's genius. No,
I don't. It's okay.
I love that. All right. Well, anyway, so we will see you guys when we watch the next episode, in which hopefully Keith gets voted out and I earn some points.
Boo.
Yeah, that's good.
Bye.
All right. Have fun. Boo. Bye. Oh, hey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Get out of my face.
Oi, Gevalt.
Oi, Gevalt. Okay,
Nick, you got to figure out a sign-off.
I will.
You got to figure one out by Nick before next week.
Night of the Living Geek.